Be ready.
That's right.
Because you never know. Right? Obviously, we're lifting up Israel. Right? There are a few things we're kind of getting right still. The peace of Jerusalem. You know, Israel has always been God's prophetic time clock. So if you want to know what's going on, just watch Israel. Keep your eyes on Jesus, but watch Israel. How about that? And that has nothing to do with tonight, but God just kind of put that on my spirit. Would you guys pray for me? And I would pray for you. Father God, I pray you would anoint my lips, Lord, that I wouldn't speak anything but what you would have me to speak tonight. Nobody needs to hear from us. We need to hear from you tonight. Give us the ear that you gave Samuel, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's been a while since I've been up here. Have you guys noticed? Betty's on fire tonight, boy. Just because I gave you a little bit of business about your boyfriend. Oh, that just happened in front of the whole church, didn't it? So anyway, you know, I've been gone for about a month. We've been traveling and seeing God's creation. We love to get away every year for the end of the year. We take a vacation because at the beginning of the year, we take a vacation with everybody, which is not a vacation. So we have to take a vacation at the end of the year because we're so messed up from the vacation we took at the end of the year. Does that make sense? So we love getting away and just relaxing and refreshing and rejoicing and renewing, which I think is important for us to rest as Christians and not always be busy doing things. There is a time for that, of course. There's a time to rest and kick it. I like kicking it. Anybody else like kicking it? I like kicking it. You like kicking it? Okay. So this year we went to Kentucky, and I heard somebody say last night, I would rather be a catcherman than a fisherman. And I like that because I never catch anything, and I think fishing sucks. Sorry for any fishermen here. If a fish isn't on the line at 3.2 seconds, I'm out. Just telling you. But you know, God called me to be a fisher of men, and that's something I love to do. I love casting my bread upon the water and just watching little fish. I love it. I think it's great. I think we've been called to do it, and there's nothing cooler than when, you know, that's really cool. And that also has nothing to do with tonight. But it's okay, because I'm a little rusty. I haven't been here in a while, so give me some grace, Pete, eyeballing me. And I can't tell if he's hurting or he's just eyeballing. Sometimes they look the same, but he's my buddy. We can do that to each other. So we took a trip a couple of years ago, and we actually went to hell, Oklahoma. But we prepared for this trip. We prepared for the journey. We were in an old Jeep, and we knew it wasn't really roadworthy. Not the one you guys are getting. It's another one. And, you know, we changed the oil, and Pete and the boys put it together, and we did this and we did that, and we knew we were going to have problems along the way. You see, we prepared knowing that we're going to face some trouble along the way, especially driving this 1995 classic Jeep to the Grand Canyon, pulling a big, large box that is my camper. And people thought we were nuts, probably like a lot of you guys when you decide to follow Jesus. You're crazy starting this thing, but he's faithful to complete it in the end. We know that, right? So we take off on the journey, and we mapped it out a little bit. We probably ought not go over too many hills because we had a gauge on it, and it was going this, and it was getting hot, and we had to remap and reroute and go around this. But then we came through the – anybody ever been through the panhandle of Oklahoma? If you've been there, raise your hand. You're in hell. I'm convinced. Just relax, guys. Anybody too religious, just calm down. It's not hell. It's nothing like. In fact, that'll be a great thing compared to the panhandle, but it's the closest I've ever experienced here. So we're driving, and we're pulling this large box. And when it starts overheating, you have to run the heat, you see. You run the heat because apparently when you run the heater, it calms the motor down and cools the motor down. But the problem with that was it was about 100 degrees coming through the panhandle. And I'm looking at the gauge, and it was like I was so stressed out watching the gauge going, oh, my God, it's at 200. It's at 210. Turn the heat on, so we're dying. We're hanging out the window. And then the cool thing about that part, there's a 30-mile-an-hour headwind, so I got an earache. It was just It was horrible. And the problem with that, when you're facing all that wind like that, you're sucking down fuel like it's going out of style. It's taking a lot more fuel than it normally would when the wind's at your back. It's great being on that trip when the wind was at my back. But when I started facing the headwinds, it wasn't quite as much fun. It became a little more difficult. And I'm looking at the gauge, this gauge going way over here. It's running really hot. I'm looking at the fuel gauge. They're going in the opposite direction. And I was like, oh, Lord. And then in the panhandle, there's nothing there. Not even a QT. They're everywhere. So we were just about out of fuel when we rolled into a town. We gassed up and we gave God glory. Thank you, Jesus. Because, of course, we're praying the whole time. Lord, we don't want to run out here. There's nothing here. We saw like four people. And you're going, what does that have to do with anything? What has everything to do with tonight's message? Because I believe there are people in this place right now. Billy said, did you know Billy Graham? Remember that? He was kind of a small-town guy. He said he reckoned that up to 50% of the people that come to church are not born again. He's just Billy Graham. He's just a man, but I think he deserves to be listened to a little bit. 50% of the people that go to church, that do religious activities, that serve on the this and do that and do that, may not be saved. They might not know Jesus. They may not be born again. They may not have crossed that bridge that Will talked about, to having unity and peace with God. In fact, the Bible says if you don't know Jesus, you might actually be his enemy. Oh. We don't want to be God's enemy. 50% of the people in church today that go to church Saturday nights, Sunday nights, may not be born again. Is that scary? It's so sad when it doesn't have to be. You know, but you got these gauges along the way that you can kind of monitor stuff. There's a friend of mine that actually lives in Oklahoma, Richard Goss. It's ironic, isn't it? He says, if you are what you were then, you ain't. So tonight we're talking about, you know, we just finished a series. You guys know that, right? Yes, Will. So you say you want to grow, huh? Did you guys get something, or was it just another Saturday night? Is something you do to put off your board? Betty has notes. You're just trying to get on my good side now after abusing me all night. It's working. Keep it up. A couple of amens wouldn't kill you either, Betty. Just saying. Anyway, so we're going to talk about the parable of the bridesmaids found in Matthew chapter 25. Now, that whole discourse, the last little bit of his life, you got to figure there was some weight on those words, knowing that I'm not going to be here much longer, so it deserves our attention. Matthew 24, you guys read that? When's the last time? Raise your hand if you've read Matthew 24 in the last month. Amen and amen. It's a great place to be, especially in this season. Now, we don't know if Christ is coming back tomorrow, right? But we don't know he's not. And for some people, tonight, they'll meet Jesus. One way or another, he's coming to them. I mean, they'll die or pass on. But we don't know. So if you've read Matthew 24 in the past ever, if you've ever read Matthew 24, raise your hand. Pretty much everybody in Landon, we need to talk. Matthew 24, it's like a fast-moving book, man. Jesus is telling you everything's going to happen, right? Ultimately ending in him coming back for the church. Amen. I believe we're there right now. It could happen anytime. How would you like to be praising God? Woo! Bam! Nothing but tennis shoes left behind. How about that? Or t-shirts or whatever. Some of you probably ought to go to the Hanes factory, make sure. Just saying. Could happen and everything's there. You kind of want to be found right. You know what I'm saying? Turn to your Bibles to Matthew 25. Now again, guys, bear with me. I'm a little rusty. It's been a while. But Lynn always says this, Randy, if they just can get one nugget, you've done your job. Right? Thank you, Vaughn. I hope you get two. Matthew 25. But I encourage you, church, read 24 on your, study it, meditate on it, have some fun with it. Right? These aren't going to help much. Anybody seen glasses? How do I do this? I just had them. Okay. I literally just had them. Wait a minute. What do you think? These?
Oh, yeah, that's it.
I think I'll go with these. Thank you, Karen. That was a test. You have a giving heart. Bless you. It was a test. Matthew 25. The parable. Now, Tim spoke on this not long ago. But I you know, God gave me some pretty cool stuff about it. Before we go there, I'm going to say kind of what led into this. There was a verse, a passage that I struggled with for a long time. Jesus talking about keeping the commandments. It's John 14, and I was just reading through, and I've always read it. If you love me, then you'll keep my commandments. And I was like, man, I want to keep your commandments. Even the ones that Jesus really spiritualized, when if you've even looked at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. If you've hated a brother or sister, then you've committed murder. I even wanted to keep that. I'm going, man, I murdered maybe 7 million people. Give or take. Nobody in this church yet. But I've always struggled with that passage thinking, I don't know if I haven't kept them. I want to keep them. But then I heard Adrian Rogers, one of my personal favorites, doing a message about what it really meant in the Greek. The word keep would have been really well known and familiar with Greek fishermen. So they'd be out on the Sea of Galilee, they're fishing, see? Picture it. A storm comes up, they're looking at a star, and they're reckoning, okay, there it is, I'm keeping it. I'm keeping that star. The wind blows them off course. Maybe they get confused. Maybe they fall asleep at the wheel, but they end up off course. It's okay because they're keeping that star and they're bringing the boat back into alignment with the star. Is that amazing? It was revolutionary for me because I was like, oh, Jesus, thank you. Because I know that I don't keep your commandments. And neither do you, and neither do you, and neither do you, you. None of us do. Now, the longer that we walk with Jesus, we take his yoke and we're learning from him, we should be keeping them better. Right? I believe that I am. Well, is she looking at me? Okay, she smiled. So she says, yeah, you're a little better than you were last year. One day, we'll be what we are today in position, we'll be what we will practice. Right now, in position, we're perfect. You're close, Will. You don't know you're in, but you're not. One day, thank you, Jesus, when he comes back and takes his bride home, we will be perfect. For those that have been born again, that are part of his church, you're going to be perfect. Look at your neighbor and go, man, I can't wait for that day. Whew. You're a straight up mess, for real. But you think you were messy now. You should have seen me 10 years ago, or 15, or 20, or 25. There should be a progression as you keep his commandments. Anybody want to keep his commandments? Put them up there. I got to count. If not, if your hand isn't up, I'd like to see you after your Bob. Put your hand up. You know you do. Stop playing games. Your first time back in a while. Don't play games first night. You know you want to keep them. I want to keep them. But the bottom line is we can't. That's why he had to come in the first place. That's why we sing worship to him. Because he knows we can't do it. So I came and did it for you. The church legalists will say, walk this line. Knowing that you can't do it. You can't walk that line. Jesus walked it for you. And we call on it by faith, and it's imputed to us. That's a big word. Imputed righteousness. I-M-P-O, whatever. Imputed righteousness. The righteousness that was Christ is placed on you. I had a thought the other day, and maybe it's not my thought. Somebody probably thought about it before, I'm sure. But I'm in the shower praying. I do that a lot. Not shower, but I pray. And I'm praying, and I'm thinking, I thought of that scripture. Come. Let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, I'll wash them, they'll be as white as snow. Yeah, it might be a paraphrase, but you get the point. And then I thought about this. What color is Christ's blood? Red? Scarlet? Covers that sin? I don't know, but it just kind of blew my mind when I was thinking about it. He can't see my sin. Hallelujah. He sees the blood of his son that covers me. Hallelujah. That's great comforting words, guys, because God can't be in the presence of sin. That's what separates us. But because of being born again and his blood that covers us, he can't see our sin anymore. It's east to west. And all. Isn't it amazing? Thank you, Candy. Betty, you're too behind. Just saying. Okay, here we go. Now, took notes. Got some notes. Good. Matthew 25. You ready? I'm going to read through this. And you never know, guys. This might message might for the, anybody new here tonight, first time. Raise your hand if you are. Well, normally I only go about 15 minutes or so. I'm covered. That little lie was covered by grace. I'm just saying. Okay. Good. But this could be a shorter message than usual. Some of the teachers back there are going, why doesn't it happen? Why when I, whatever. But I got some good practical stuff. It kind of felt like Lynn and I discussed this, wrapped up with the Holy Spirit and Jesus. We're all studying this thing. I've been thinking about it for a while. And I think we'll walk away feeling like it was worth your time. Okay, Matthew 25. And I'm using the New King James Version because I do think that sometimes the NLT waters it down. Pete, stop it. It does, you know. So I'm going to read through this and we're going to walk back through it. The kingdom of heaven, again, this is Jesus. This is right before he's led away, right before he gives up his life. It wasn't taken from him. He laid it down for us. Okay? Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps with no oil and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should be not enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came along saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. How about that? Do we have the picture, guys? Son of a gun to you. You're good. Look at that. That is a replica of the Ark. If you've been to Kentucky and been to the Ark, anybody been there? It's neat, isn't it? Yeah, Pete, you went there. You went with Reagan. This is a picture of the door on the Ark. You know, according to the Bible, this is about what it would look like. Now, I want you to imagine, because you know, Christ is our Ark. Everything in the Old Testament points to a time to come. Christ in the New Testament is our ark. When we go in it, we're safe. But the funny thing about this, I want you to picture this calamity going on. Noah, the man of righteousness, had been preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. Come on. There's going to be a flood. He's taking you out. And the funny thing is, the Bible says they were kind of normal days. They were just marrying, hanging out, going to the Kansas City Chiefs every single Sunday. No time for God, you see. But then when the flood came and they went in, the door was shut. Now, we don't know because we weren't there, but you can surmise when the water started coming. Can you imagine the people banging on the door to get in? Can you imagine people hanging on the boat? Can you imagine the carnage that was happening when the dead animals started floating by and all this stuff? Can you imagine the chaos that was going on outside the ark when there was complete peace relative on the inside. So when the world is falling apart, which I don't know if you guys have noticed, Will alluded to it. I'm glad that he tuned you guys in, because a lot of you guys don't even realize the world's really falling apart. But it's actually falling in place. We know that, right? So when you're in Christ, we don't have any reason to fear. You might get a little wet. It's going to get a little rocky, for sure. But you're in the ark. Or are you? Now we're going to talk about that. But the door was shut. Once it's shut, you're out. You can bang, you can do all this stuff, you can plead, you can beg, and all this stuff you can see. But when it is shut, it is shut. I have people I've been asking to come to church for 20 years that do not have time for Jesus. Man, I just don't have the time. You know what I mean? I'd love to. I'm going to do that one day. At least two of them have already passed. Now, I don't know. But I did my job, and like Elijah, my hands are clean because I came to you in love. I came to you about every way I could. So you can't say you didn't hear it. There would be no excuses. None. There's, in America, there's churches on every corner. Even on the football games, on the Cardinal games, I'm hearing signs and people begging. You know what? I thought of this today. And I don't remember what it was. Linda, was the thing that rhymed, you know, the invitation. Extended. There you go. Okay. In the age of grace, the invitation is being extended. When that happens, it will be rescinded. You're done. There's no more time. You're out of time. We don't want that to happen, right, guys? Don't. You know, in Israel, when you were betrothed to be married, you were entered into this like year-long engagement deal where you would go and you would they'd be betrothed, and he said, "Hey, babe, I'm coming back and I'm getting you. Right now, I'm going to go and I'm preparing our home. I'm going to go there and get it all set up." Now listen, I'm not going to tell you when I'm coming back. So have your bags packed. When I come back to get you, it's going to be glorious. We're going to go back to my home. Can you imagine the bride laying around? "Well, I don't know when he's coming. Maybe I'll go and date a few other fellas." We do it all the time to Jesus. Don't we? Not we. Just everybody stop clamping your seats. Just relax. But they're waiting, and you don't know. And the funny thing is, he doesn't come back to get the bride until the Father says so. Then he says, "Go get her. Go get the bride," right? And I believe, and I'll go to my grave if it's happening. I believe you're coming tomorrow. Oh, boy, I don't know. But I'm going to keep believing because God said be ready. Because you don't know the hour when I'm coming. You don't know. So your job is to be ready. Now, you got to be honest. Sometimes it gets a little difficult when you're facing the headwinds. You know the easiest part to fall asleep on Highway 70? Between Wentzville and Wright City, it's just straight. It's nice and calm. So easy to fall asleep. I get on Bell Road, or it's crazy because you're going up hills and down hills, so it's a lot easier to stay awake. When everything's going great in your life, isn't it easy just to kind of just take everything for granted? And then some tragedy happens that wakes you up out of your slumber or something. Don't you wish we could just automatically stay awake, even when I'm preaching? Wouldn't it be great? Betty. Okay. 10 is the number of perfection. And I think it's cool here because there were 10 virgins, meaning they were part of the body of Christ. At least they were, looked like they were part of the body of Christ. There are people in this church and other churches that looked like you, they talked like you. They're at your Bible study. They're doing this. They're serving the Lord, but their hearts are a thousand. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are 1,000 miles from me, right? So here, they're kind of undetectable. But those were foolish, took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Who likes to sleep, man? Let's just face it. Is sleep a gift from God? Isn't it great? It's healthy. I've been sleeping too good lately. There's so much going on. But I haven't been sleeping. The funny thing is, I asked the Lord last night at 2:30. I was awake. Bing! We got small groups. We got a church bill. We got this. We got that going on. I was like, what is going on? Father, please give me at least 2 hours of sleep. You know, sounds kind of elementary, doesn't it? I woke up at 4:30. And then in my mind, it's like, well, this Saturday, I could probably use two more. I would have prayed for four, but I didn't think you'd do the two. Well, I'm honest. Just being honest. Guess what? Because he's a good, good father. He knew I needed it. Gave me another 2 hours. Now, I could have pushed it, but I was like, no, I'm going to get up and get into your word. Because that's what I do, right? Keeping my lamp full. Okay. You know, Barry always talks about spiritually accurate, and I think it's really good. Because as I think back on that Jeep trip, I remember when I take long trips, I make sure my car is on half. I pretend like my half is my empty. Now here, when I know the landscape, I've been known to kind of run it on E. And I've been possibly warned by someone that rhymes with Jen Schmappet that rides with me. Did you know that running that pump low is creating stress on your water pump unduly? I see Christians all the time that are running around half full. And I wonder what happens. I mean, they're skipping groups. They're skipping Bible studies. Hey, man, I'm too busy. I'm just too busy. I'd like, maybe next week. Call them next week. Well, you know, I got a lot going on. You know, I got to do what I got to do. Okay. But what happens when he calls? Are you going to have enough fuel in your lamp? Just asking. No. I'm going to look around. It's pretty good. Not bad. Pretty full. A lot of you guys are full of it, for sure. But they all slumbered and they all slept. Sleep isn't a bad thing. He's talking more about sleep at the will. Remember when Jesus was being crucified and he said, can you guys just stay awake for a little while? Comes back. They're all faded out. And he was like, are you kidding me? Can't you stay awake a little while? He doesn't ask you to go out and set the world on fire. He asks you, actually commands you, to be awake and be alert and be looking. Actually, you know there's a watcher's crown? You know what a watcher's crown is? For people that are watching for his coming. And you'll cast that crown at Jesus' feet. Because I've been waiting. I thought you were coming back when I was a little boy. Now I'm an old man. I watched the whole time. I thought you were coming the next day, and I lived my life accordingly. I thought you were coming the next day. I've waited my life like you were coming the next day. That's a watcher's crown. How about that? It's a special crown. Just for watching and living your life according to you might come at any moment. But they were all sleeping. They all slept. They were the same at this point. And a midnight cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. You know what? I want you to picture this lamp. Do anybody have a hurricane lamp in your house? Well, here in Missouri, we call it a tornado lamp, I guess. We don't have hurricanes. But a hurricane lamp has that, you know, the classic glass, and it has a thing, a wick. And we're not talking about that here. We're talking about probably a stick that would have been wrapped real tight with some cloths of some type. And it would have been dunked in olive oil. And then it would held up high and it would burn. Right? You know what trimming that would be? Trimming is like when you would roll it around to make sure you're getting the right olive oil and the right light. Because if it's too one thing, it's too bright, it might be. If it's not trimmed right, you might get too much smoke. You might not get enough light. I know Christians out there right now, their light is dim because they have not trimmed their lights. They're allowing things into their life and into their testimony that is wrecking their witness and wrecking their light, and the only person they're fooling is themselves. And I think it's funny when I say things like, hey man, you been in the Word a little bit? Well, I got to tell you. I tell you what, that is a really good question. Well, if it's so good, why don't you answer it? It's a good question. Deserves a good answer. Not the answer you're giving me. Well, I got this little thing. See, every day, you know what it does? It pops up on my phone. Just the right time. Be surprised how much it speaks to me that day. Well, okay. You know, when I was a kid, I liked Gerber. Did they have a Gerber when I was a kid? Whatever they had. If you're still depending on a devotion that pops up on your phone that just speaks to you at the right time, can I suggest there's a whole nother level to get to? Can I suggest maybe your flask of oil is a little dry, and in due time when affliction happens or something comes up or maybe the bridegroom comes on the scene, you're not going to be prepared? Can I say that? Because I just did. And I'll say it again. If you're not a student in the Word, we're going to get to five things that we can all do to make sure that when He comes on, we got a big flask of. You know what the oil represents in the Bible? Anointing and Spirit. So, when you're born again, you know, a stomach is meant to house food. That's what it's for. So when you're born again, we all have a spirit. But when you're born again, the Spirit of God comes and resides in your spirit. Amen? So then you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, helping you and pointing to things. What about that, Randy? Oh, man, I'd rather you come back and deal with that another time, Jesus. Okay, have it your way. But your wick is not trimmed when you continually do that and you're emitting things that are foul. And the cool thing about it is, actually, it's kind of scary. In the past, God winked at your ignorance. He's not winking anymore because a lot of people up in this church have been saved a long time and still need to trim their wicks. And we need to live like He's coming tomorrow. Can't stress that enough. We come in here. I just can't wait. Good word, brother. Good word. I can't wait till next Saturday. This is time for us to get serious. And it's okay. We can also have fun. You see, one doesn't have to be at the expense of the other. Okay? Well, we were having a blast and the preacher said we had to live lives serious for Jesus, so now I'm a drag. It's sad.
Yo.
Rodney, isn't it sad? You're about as goofy as I am, for real, and I like it. We need some goofies for Jesus that know the Word, that study the Word, and I will say this. You know, when did disciplines become a bad word? When did the spiritual disciplines, you know, that's a new thing? Like the last 150 years, it's an American thing, a Western church thing. Back in the day, they had spiritual disciplines. And the more disciplined you are, the more free you are. Isn't it? That's kind of a, what do you call one of those things? That's a morons, all right. That's not the word of them. That's one of those paradigms. That's what it is, a paradigm. Now you're telling me, preacher, you're saying study the Word, apply the Word, keep your commandments, and I become freer? Yeah, right? It's counterintuitive, that's the word. Wow, that's a big one, Mel. We don't do that around here. That's at least like 10 letters, man. You feel me, though? But the thing is, there are some people that are new Christians, and they haven't found that freedom, but they're on the road to really discovering the freedom. So you'll come, like right now, you got the bit in your mouth because that's what you need. But the more you walk with Jesus, the more you take His yoke, the more you learn because He's humble and He's and the more that you do that and you trust Him and you do His commandments, then He releases you. And then you're free. You're free anyway, but there's a whole other level of freedom through the disciplines. Does that make sense? It makes such sense in my mind because you know what? Were you guys there when Purdy said, who was at the picnic? Who wasn't? Write your name on a list. I want to talk to you. Just kidding. It was great. But Did you hear Purdy say, "That's right, Randy, I have a Long Island tea one."
Well, he doesn't love Jesus then. He just must not. He had a Bud Light. I said, he doesn't like Jesus because he's doing all the naughty things.
Paul says all things are permissible, not all things are beneficial or constructive. And don't do anything to make another brother stumble. And don't use what God is commanding you to abstain from to yoke somebody up with that. That's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. There are times when God says, if you do one more. But there are also times through the disciplines and knowing Jesus that he releases you. If I can't trust you not to go out and drink 58 beers, the crap. Seriously? Do you understand? This is really important, guys. Because religion would say, hey, because I can't, you can't. That's what religion tells you. Because I can't go into a bar without being tempted to drink 50 of them, I don't see why you should go. Well, I might be going in there. Actually, if I did go, it would be intentionally to tell somebody about the love of Christ, and I'm going to go where the sinners would be. That's what I'm going to do. Perhaps they may not come to your church on a Saturday night. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. Randy said all of us should go to the bar and have a service there. Do you understand? I mean, I'm just beginning to understand this. A smart person learns from his own mistakes. A wise person learns from others. We're free. You're free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom,
right? Okay. So, got me all off my game there, Randy. Trimming the lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, lest our lamps are going out. First of all, they didn't have any oil to begin with. They didn't have any. They all went out at the same time. All five of the foolish virgins, their lamps went out at the same time, which would indicate they didn't have any oil to begin with. They weren't saved. They didn't know God. Right? Think about it. They all ran out at the same time. They were not prepared. I know people right now that if Christ came home today, they'd split the doors of hell wide open, and they're good people. Maybe church-going people. Maybe involved in ministry. That's the saddest thing ever. And I love this church. You know why I love this church? Because you guys are just a bunch of weirdos. But you're weird for Jesus. You know, I thought when I became a preacher, I remember telling Lynn, well, I need to preach like Billy Graham. I had a friend of mine, he really liked his style. Well, maybe I'll copy him. He's really good. Maybe I'll copy that person. But see, I was taking the yoke of Jesus and I was learning from him. And the Holy Spirit, I've said many times, a lot of times his voice sounds like Lynn's. Who said this. She said, you know, when you teach, you really kind of suck. But when you preach like God has you preach, I can listen to it all day long. So then I read the John Ortberg, the you you always wanted to be. You see, there's only one you. Sometimes there I've seen two or three people back in the day. There were three of you. But you will never know yourself until you know Jesus. You'll never know yourself until you know Jesus. And it's a sad thing to know a person's 60, 70, 80 years old, and you never even knew yourself. But worse than that, if you don't know yourself, and how about Christ when he says, I don't know you either. You see, if you would have known me and taken my yoke upon you, you would have known you and you'd have been cool with you. Because if you were cool with you, knowing that I was cool with you, that would have really been cool. You understand what I'm saying? The cool thing too, if you're talking about a church that's half full, I think it's really neat when you see people come alive to who they are. And they understand, like the brown bag the other day, a bruised reed he will not crush. A smoldering coal he won't put out. Jesus is cool with you being bruised because we're all bruised. We've been bruised by sin. We've been stung by the sting of death. But Jesus took the stinger away, right? I really hope you guys get this. Because it's really important. Because you don't have to worry about what other people think about you when you know Jesus and you understand he approves of you. It's great, isn't it? Then you can go and be you. And I remember when we first started our business and we'd see big-time architects or sports athletes. We've worked for a lot of them and we see people in big houses. Big. I'm talking big. Like millions of bucks. And I was like, man. And to somehow you feel less than. Well, this is before Jesus. See, then I got to know Jesus. And then I got to know Jesus better. Then I got to know Jesus better. And then I realized they can't come to me and buy it. They have to receive it by faith. It's free. And see what that does now when I see them, I can pray for them. And they know that I have something that they don't have. And they know there's something to it because now it's been 30 years. You see, when it's only a year or two, anybody can do that. 5 years, anybody can do that. 10 years, anybody can do that. When you walk with Jesus that long, it levels the playing field. And then a lot of times they'll come up to you, man, what is the deal? You don't have jack squat. But I got the joy of the Lord. I got the joy of the Lord. I got the joy. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. But you can't do that if you're wicked and tempted. Who would want that? He comes around and just makes everything worse. You ever meet a Christian like that? You spend 10 minutes with them, it's like, I just feel like I just got beat up. That's messed up, guys. That is messed up. And I'm sorry to say I've been that guy. And this is way is a lot better. The way of Jesus is just a lot better. Okay, so we know that we can't give somebody our oil. It's been said there, God doesn't have grandchildren, he only has children. You can't go on my deal. You can't do it. We can pray for them. We can love on them. We can keep our wicks trimmed. So what we're emitting is the light of Christ. No, lest there should be not enough for us in you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Now he's not even saying, he's not, you meanie. It's not for sale. It's a gift. Ready went in with it to the wedding and the door was shut. We already talked about that. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, surely I say to you, I do not know you. You can come to church every Saturday night, every Sunday morning. You can join your Bible studies. You can do all these things. You can play in a worship band. You can vacuum the carpets. You can preach and do all this stuff. But if you're not born again, the door is shut to you and you're separated from Christ forever when he comes back. Period. That's just how it is. And when you make your own universe and you become God, then you can make your own rules, but this is just how it is. It makes it very easy. Remember Blockbuster Video? Hollywood Video? Family Video? Lynn and I were talking the other day. We were 300 members on each one. 900 videos that we rented. And you'd walk in, there were thousands of choices. You have two. Jesus or hell. There are no other choices. Pretty simple. Not like a bunch of choices. You have one.
Up or down.
Yeah, up or down. Get right or get left. Watch, therefore, you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Now, I told you, I promised you, I said, we're going to have some practical stuff on how you can keep oil in your lamp. Ready? First of all, if you're not born again, you're dry. You ain't got none. You must be born again. If you have not been born again, it's a simple thing. Christ did all the hard work for you. He lived the perfect life, laid it down for you, and all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. First of all, it involves the R word, repentance, where you actually go the other way, the opposite way that you were going, recognizing you have failed miserably. Even the best person, Mother Teresa, Adrian Rogers, Billy Graham, horrible failures until they said, I want to be born again. And they became winners. Right? Okay, so let's make the assumption that we're preaching to the choir tonight. Everybody in here is born again. Hallelujah. Right? Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You have your part to play too. And you wouldn't be here on a Saturday night if you weren't willing to do some work, right? You wouldn't be here. To begin with, you stay at home, play Xbox, or whatever. Is Xbox still a thing? Whatever. Xbox is lame compared to know Jesus. The greatest adventure you ever take. But it's going to require work. I'm not leaving you two out. It's going to take work. So repentance, to me, is almost a daily thing. I repent every day. I repented once for all time. It's not like if I don't repent one day, I'm not saved. You can't get saveder or saved less. You're either saved and born again or you're not. But every day I keep short accounts. Short accounts. Lord, I blew it. I'm apologizing for Lent for flipping that guy off on the highway. Just kidding. She hasn't done that in quite some time. Thank you, Jesus. Just small victories. Celebrate small victories. But seriously, each day, keep a small account. Lord, I got upset with that fella. I got some bitterness in my heart towards that person. You know, I think I'm covetous of her. I'm envious of him because he's so cool. Or whatever. That's a sin. I wish he'd just crash and burn. That's a sin. I wish the worst for that person. That's a sin. Why do they get to do all the fun stuff? That's a sin. You've already broken it. We've done enough just in the last hour to banish us to hell forever. For real. I'm serious. That's the holiness of God. But he reckons that's why Jesus had to come. So at the end of every day, throughout the day, Lord, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. I don't remember what we were talking about. So each day, we repent. Daily acknowledging that, Lord, I am nothing without you. Lord, I need your grace to even get out of bed. I need your grace to forgive this person. I need your grace to not become bitter. I need your grace because I feel there's a bitter root that's coming up between me and you. And it's him or her. That's a sin. Yeah, but you know, that's a sin. Yeah, but there's no yabbits in heaven. It sounds like a Jewish word, though, doesn't it? Yabbit. Doesn't it? Yabbit. There aren't any. There are no yeah, but, Jesus. You don't understand because he does understand. That's why he came. So you say, I forgive that person. They drive me crazy. Confess it to God. Move on. And when that's possible, live at peace with everybody. That's what you could do. That's just one little thing. Can you feel like the oil going into your little flask? It's already happening. You feel it? Thinking of that person there? Yeah, I'm talking about that person. What about that? Yeah, I'm talking about that person too. Trust me, I got tons of people in my life that I'm working on. But I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He will help me forgive that person. Okay? That make sense? That was number one. Number two, you could be a student of the Word. Just a student of the Word. Rather than just blowing through it, Lord, I don't know if you saw what I did today. Two chapters for you. Deuces. Tomorrow, if you're lucky, Jesus, I might give you three. And I might even do a devotional. Jesus calling. You heard of her, Jesus? Sarah Evans, she's amazing. You'd like her a lot. Whatever. Maybe I'm thinking Bob Evans. That's where I met you, Bob Evans. But you feel me? Student of the Word. You meditate. And I tonight have some little strategies to help you. Coming out of this book here. Now, Pete, if there was one book you had to have on an island, the Bible wins hands down. There is no Bible. It's complete. It's 100% accurate. It's full in and of itself. But God also has some amazing authors out. George Mueller, Wycliffe. You can go on and on and on. There are other things that people can read to help them. But if you're not finding yourself in the Bible, you're missing out. Period. You have to be students of the Word. Not a little devotional pops on your phone. That's fine. But you will run out of fuel. So tonight, I'm going to give you, doggone it, that bookmark fell out, and I was going to go right to it. So now you're going to have to just relax for a second. Look at your neighbor and say this, yeah, give me one. Do the Jeopardy thing or whatever that is. That's fine. We can do that here. Oh, da, 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 da. This is not a squirrel. It totally doesn't apply here. Oh, here we go. Okay. Now, I know I'm going to blow through these because this is such an amazing book. You see, this book, remember the letter about the letter? It says that. This is how to get more out of your reading. So you're not just blowing through 2-3 chapters a day. Well, you know, that thing. Okay. So while we were on vacation, it pertains to no squirrel. While we were on vacation, I wanted to go golfing because I suck and I want to get better. And I was trying to impress. I something happens when I go off with Lynn. I think I'm still trying to impress her. And I almost golfed as bad as you, Pete. Almost. It was horrible. You would have laughed. It was that bad. But I was like, oh my God, I think I'm trying to impress Lynn. But I went into the Goodwill, so I blamed it on the clubs. I got 4 clubs for $10 or something, right? Now, listen close. There's a point to it. While I was in the good, you know, the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. He's in control of everything, right? So I thought I was going in to get golf clubs. And Lynn spied the book section. And I was looking for a book. I was like, oh, this is interesting. $1.99. You know, a book is really good when you read 2 chapters. You feel like you put it down and you've already gained a bunch. This is one of those books. In fact, I think we're going to be doing this in our small group because it's that good. Now listen to some of the things you can do to help you meditate on the Word so you're not just blowing it out and putting it in their check. Because remember, point number 2, to be students of the Word. I'm going to blow through these, and if you want to know more, get the book. Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, Don Whitby. Emphasize different words in the text. I am the resurrection and the life. Here they've highlighted, I am. Another one might be resurrection. Another one might be life. So you're having a little fun. You're thinking about it throughout the day, right? Number 2, rewrite the text in your own words. Where'd Barb go? Where's Barb Rogelski? I was privileged, after a brown bag, to see Barb's study. Let me tell you something. There's some amazing wisdom in this church. Because she rings the word out. You got to ring it out. You got to ring it out. You got to study. You got to meditate on it. You can't just read it like a book with a check mark on it. Because we don't want to fall asleep. I think I've been sleeping. That's why I took a vacation, just to get my mind. And I think I came back recharged, renewed. Whatever it is for you, do it. Okay, meditation number 3. Formulate a principle from the text. What does it teach? Think about it. If you only read a paragraph and thought about it and did all these things, look at it a couple different ways. Think of an illustration, thank you, of the text. What picture explains it? How about this? I think Michelangelo may have done that when he did the Sistine Chapel, and it shows God of heaven reaching down from heaven. And man, just apathetically, just kind of like, oh, he's explaining something in a picture. Why not us do it, stick men, whatever? What does it teach? Look for applications of the text. Does the text point to the law or to the gospel? What does the text say about Jesus? Do you guys get the point? So you're not just reading it. We're becoming students of the Word. And if you don't know, don't be too much of a big baby to ask somebody. And for Pete's sake, or Rob's sake, we'll say, don't act like you know it all. And don't act like you're supposed to know it all. Because none of us know it all. But in the multitude of counsel, there's wisdom. Right? That's why we're doing the small groups. So we can get in, talk about this stuff. Hey, what do you think? Hey, what do you think? Some things are a mystery. How about embrace the mystery? I don't know when it's coming back. I just know he's saying be ready. Four? Oh, no. This is going to be tough, guys. Get thicker skin. My brother. My little brother. Get, you know, the scriptures say in the end, the love of many will wax cold. You know what that actually means? It'd be more in the love, in the end, people will be offended on every little thing. They'll get butt hurt. That just happened. That just happened. Well, I don't like what you said. I think I'm going to lay rubber all the way out of this church and never see me. Bye. Please come back and be more divisive. Please. Be more sensitive. It's kind of funny, but it's not that funny if you really think about it. We should be thick skinned. I should be able to come up with and share with my brothers and sisters. This is on my heart. I think I saw something in your life. You might want to look at this. And they should be open to come and tell me, hey, man, I saw something you put on Facebook. This is what I would say unbecoming of an ambassador of Christ. Let's be, you know what I'm saying? Go to your Bibles to Proverbs 9. Is this a long message? I thought it was going to be shorter than this. I'm sorry, guys. Okay, thank you. Mel, thank you for the constant encouragement. I need it. Proverbs 9, 7 through 9. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. And he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he'll be even wiser. Teach a just man, and he'll increase in learning. You see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Remember, we talked about the wise and the foolish? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. By me your days will be multiplied, and the years of my life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone. So get thicker skin. And I'm working on it. Lynn is really hard on me sometimes. We had a little do you guys know what an HID is? High intensity discussion. It happens when I spend too much time with Lynn. And she spends too much time with me. It just happens, man. We've been married for over 10 years now. And I've got thick skin. Sometimes it's like a dog-eat-dog world, and I got milk bone underwear on. You've heard that said? Get some thicker skin, church. Let's get some thick skin. Soft hearts. Too many people have thin skin, hard hearts. Mel, we need some thick skin, soft hearts. Soft hearts with the love of the Lord. And roll with it, right? The Bible says, make allowances for each other's faults. Oh, that's just something. That's the word. That's the word. The last thing is kind of a misfitting thing, and I'm going to say what it is. Smoke what you're selling. Did he just say that? Smoke what you're selling. In other words, and I will say this, I was at a conference one time with my pastor who was this pertains, don't do it. Our personalities were strikingly similar. We were exactly the same person. But the difference was, he was perfect. Never lied. Probably, I'm just saying, just relax. Yes, he was. Okay. But he was valedictorian, 2-time tennis champion, masters in about 14 different areas, degrees that he just collected all along the thing. And we were at a conference one time in Georgia, a little fundraising deal, and I saw this preacher that I really connected with. He was just raw. He was real. Had a church, a bunch of derelicts, kind of like another church I know. Man, he loved his church, though, right? And I could tell. Because he was emitting love. You must have been trimming that wick. Must have had a full bag of oil. Because I sensed it. And it was fragrant. It was like aroma to me, right? And I was like, man, I dig this guy. Did you hear what he just said? You're smoking. Got to be smoking what you're selling. I go, well, yeah, I dig it, dude. Because I did. You know what I'm saying? Another life. And he was like, yes. Yeah, I inhaled. Quite a bit, actually. But now I can emphatically say, Mark, there is no high like the Most High. And how can I tell somebody else there's a better way if I have been there myself? So, church, while you're out on the streets and you're in your job and you're doing this and you're doing that, you better be living a life worthy of your calling. You've been called, you've been summoned by the King. Isn't that great to know? Out of all the people in the world, He chose and handpicked you. You know, He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. When you were a mother, He was knitting you together. So the Bible says. That's why we're pro-life. Right? Because Jesus came to give you life. And life abundantly tells me that Jesus was probably pro-life. Right? So while we're out there living your life, trimming your wick, keeping your oil full, doing all your disciplines, not because they're trying to shackle you up, because it's leading you to greener pasture. Right? He's a good shepherd. He wants to lead you out into pasture. I think it's funny when people go, hey, Pastor Abbott. I was like, pretty sure it's pastor. It's like when a person, one more for the road. Like when somebody says, you read that book of Revelations? Well, apparently you haven't, because it's not the book of Revelations. It's the book of Revelation. So you're kind of tipping your hand right there a little bit. So while you're out there, make sure that you're smoking what you're selling. Somebody's thinking, what did they say at Misfits? They said they're smoking what you're selling. They have to be doing drugs. Somebody said that one time. You know, down there at Misfits, all a bunch of stoners. That's before it was legal, right? I said, no. There's all kinds of people coming there with all kinds of stuff. It is a hospital for the sinners, right? Not a museum of saints. It's a hospital. We're all in a hospital under some kind of treatment. It is what it is. But you know what? You won't be condemned if you walk through that door and you happen to smell a little skunky. And you won't be condemned if you have to smell a little brewy. Where you kind of like, kind of got them crazy eyes, like those things, and their eyes go like that. You won't be condemned here. But what we should be doing as a church is loving on them. You know, we should be showing them there's a different way to lead their life. We should be coming alongside of them and supporting them and loving them. That's what we should be doing. There's enough judging going around, but we should be judging those on inside the church. So if you see somebody doing something naughty and they belong to this church, call them out on it. Go to your brother, your sister in private and say, hey, man, I saw that little naughty thing you put on Facebook. Probably emitting the wrong kind of message. Perhaps you should look at it. What's wrong with that? Anything wrong with that? Maybe you shouldn't be so crabby in the restaurant. Ken, I've never seen you crabby one day in your life. Have you? Oh, gosh. If there's somebody that doesn't know Jesus tonight, you've not been born again, don't leave here and not ask somebody how it's done. It's a very simple thing, right? Get one of us. We'll pray with you. If you're struggling with something, maybe you're a little low on your fluid or a little low on your oil, make sure to get a hold of us. We'd love to pray for you, right? You guys learn anything tonight? Worth coming out on Saturday night? You going to go out there in the world and just shine for Jesus like a city on a hill? That's what we want to do, right? Can't do that if you're doing all that naughty stuff. So just repent it and get it out and let's get right. Because we got some good stuff coming. Amen. Okay. Father God, I thank you for tonight, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that you made a way when there was no way, because you've always been the God of the third option, Lord. We thank you that it isn't possible, but with you, all things are possible. Lord, we thank you for this group. We pray for those that are traveling. We do lift up a couple people, Lord, that are going through surgery and coming out of it, Lord, and all that stuff, you know, and we know all kinds of stuff going on. Lord, we thank you for what's going on next door, because we believe that's going to make our light shine even brighter for you, Jesus. That's the point. So I pray that you continue to anoint this church, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Real quick, before you leave, I'm glad Will said that you can still sign up for small groups. The groups are like 3-4 couples or whatever, so, and don't sweat it if you can't make